Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW, at least for the remainder of this month. And then next month, we'll be moving to our new time at 10:30 p.m. on Sunday nights. I hope you were able to join us last week, because last week was the first of what I've been saying is a four-part show, but it may turn out to be a five-part show with the one and only Stan Freberg, truly a legend in the history of comedy records and in advertising and in radio and many, many fields, and who is also the author of a brand new book entitled It Only Hurts When I Laugh, which is highly recommended. And last week we dealt with the early part of Freberg's career. We talked about how he broke into show business and got his first jobs doing voices in cartoons, and then got to do his first record for Capitol Records, which was the legendary John and Marcia. And then we heard some other excerpts from some of his early works, and we'll pick up with this question. Okay, after a series of satires on specific songs, you then moved on to St. George and the Dragonette.
Right. I just thought it might be funny if I did a takeoff on the way Jack Webb talked in that kind of monotone voice, and the thing that made it a really inspired thing, I guess, is to take it out of the time frame that we were living in then and put it back in medieval times, and thus the name St. George and the Dragonette, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the only problem was now, even though Livingston had told me that I wouldn't have to clear with the target of the satire, I now wanted to use the original Dragonette music, which was not only published but controlled by Jack Webb, who was the target of this satire. So fortunately for me, Jack Webb had a great sense of humor, and he was a fan of my work, and so he let me not only use his original Dragnet music that he controlled, but he lent me Walter Schumann, the composer, to conduct the original Dragnet Orchestra.
The Dragnet Orchestra? What kind of gigs did they do? You know, could you have the Dragnet Orchestra come to your, your party?
Well,
the legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. You call me, Chief?
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Say, did you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah, you were right.
I was right?
Yeah, it was a gun. 8:22 p.m., I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured. Could I talk to you, ma'am?
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the man. Is that right, Dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He baned me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man. Stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir. Could I talk to you for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't they pick you up on a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah. So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir. We heard it was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Would you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts, sir.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he's just a run-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m., I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new .45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out, and his maiden devouring license revoked. Maiden devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
Now, was this the first time that the assemblage of Stan Freberg, Dawes Butler, and June Foray all came together?
Let's see. Yeah, it actually was. Of course, I worked with Dawes for several years on Time for Beanie, you know, mm-hmm. and so he was my buddy, and it was just logical that we worked together. And he also was one of the writers. He and I wrote that together, so he helped write St. George and the Dragonette. And then I thought of June because I'd worked with June in radio for years, and I had not yet done the Stan Freberg show on CBS, in which June and Dawes would both be there with, along with Peter Leeds. That would come 3 or 4 years later, I guess.
But Peter Leeds worked on some of these earlier records. With you, like
he did, the Banana Boat song. Yeah, oh yeah. Peter and I go way back.
He tended to be the voice
radio.
Of reason in these records.
Yeah, the voice of reason. That's very good. Trying to straighten me out. Trying to peel me off the wall or whatever. Or move me out of the room, man, because it's just a little too piercing, you know.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Wow, man, I'll have to ask you not to shout like that.
Well,
it's like right in my ear, man.
Well, it goes with the song.
Yeah, but don't holler in my ear,
man. Well, it's authentic calypso.
Yeah, but like
shout.
I stand next to me, man.
Well, the shout go with the bongo drums.
Well, not my bongo drums, man. I mean, move away.
Well, like. I don't see why.
No. Stand over next to the guitar, man.
He sent me over here.
Yeah? Well, then sing soft, man. You know, I mean, like, wow.
Okay. Day!
It's too loud, man.
Day!
That's better.
He's a day, oh. Daylight come and me won't go home.
Yeah, man.
Who work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Stock banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Lift 6 foot,
hold
7 foot,
man.
8 foot
it,
punch.
Daylight
too
come loud, man, too loud.
6 foot, 7 foot,
hold it,
foot,
man.
Eight
hold it, hold
foot
it, man.
Punch.
My ears, like my ears. No, hold it, man. It's too shrill, man. It's too piercing.
Oh, well, I don't see why.
No, it's too piercing, man. It's too piercing.
Well, I got to do the shout.
No, man, it's too piercing. Like, I don't dig loud noises.
Well, you ruined the whole...
piercing.
...record is what you do.
Yeah, well, tough. I'll take my bongos and go, man, because the whole thing is, like, bugging me anyhow.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I won't shout.
No, I'm cutting, man, like I didn't want to make this gig in the first place.
No, wait a minute. I'll be soft.
Yeah? Well, then back off of me, man. It's too piercing.
Okay. How's this? Yeah!
Too loud, man.
Okay. Dale.
Too loud, man. I can still hear you. Would you mind leaving the room?
Okay. Dale.
Crazy.
Daylight come and me won't go home. Daylight come and me won't go home.
Hey, beautiful bunch of ripe banana.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come. Oh, man, don't sing about spiders. I mean, ooh, well, like I don't dig spiders.
Well, that's how the song goes. Seagulls. Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Is that it? Can I leave now?
Oh, not yet. We got a big finish.
Crazy.
Yeah, man.
I locked myself out.
Crazy.
I come through the window.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Wow.
Jack Webb was a good sport about Dragnet, but what about Lawrence Welk? Did you ever hear from him?
Lawrence Welk was not such a great sport, no. However, his publishing company licensed us to use the theme song, Bubbles in the Wine. And, you know, I must say, we didn't say to Lawrence Welk, hey, we're going to spoof you on this record, and we want to use your theme music. Capitol was very cool. I mean, they just went to Champagne Music. That's the name of the publishing company. Wonder we got that title. Anyhow, they said, Capitol Records, yes, requesting permission for a recording of Bubbles in the Wine. They said, oh, that's nice. You're going to record Bubbles in the Wine. Good. They never even asked who was going to do it. You know? They probably thought, maybe, what, Frank Sinatra or something?
They ask now.
They ask now. Say, who gave this guy permission that they used to this? That's what happened later, I'm sure. Down at the Welk Music Empire.
Coming to you once again from the beautiful Aragon Ballroom on Lick Pier at the beautiful Santa Monica Beach, California. We've been getting lots of cards and letters from you folks out there in the television land. And we surely do thank you for all the cards and the letters from you folks out there in the television land. Starting us off tonight is our trio, the Lemon Sisters. And girls, what are you going to sing?
We're going to sing Thank You for All Those Cards and Letters, You Folks Out There in Television Land.
Lent.
Lent.
An appropriate number. One and two and...
Thank you for all those cards and letters, you folks in television land. We wonder where this television land is. Could it be a couple of miles from where Disneyland is? Oh, well, nevertheless, you guys and gals,
what is that noise there? Oh, it's the bubble machine. Turn off just a moment. Hold it just a moment, please. Turn off the bubble machine. Please turn off the bubble. Thank you, Lemon Sisters, for that lovely number. Wonderful, wonderful. And now on the way to the show. Here's that man with the deep, deep voice, Larry Looper. Larry, what are you going to sing for us, Larry?
I'm going to sing Thank You for All Those Cards and Letters, you
I'm
folks
sorry, are... that number has been taken.
Well, I'll sing The Funny Old Hills, then.
Good. One, and the two, and...
Oh.
Hold it just a moment. The bubbles don't come till the end of the program. Turn off the bubbles. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry Looper, for that wonderful number. And now I would like to play a short instrumental medley based on the names of girls. One and two and... No. No, that's not it. Now, here's that young man about town from the brass section, Stony Stone Dwell, to sing, please.
Please, lend your little ears to my plane.
What is the matter with that machine? Here, hit it with your horn. Hit it. Here, stick your mouthpiece in it there. A wonderful, a wonderful. And now, on with the show. Here's our champagne lady, Alice Lean. Alice is going to sing Moonlight and the Shadows. One and two and...
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in 25 years, my puffing finger is caught in my cheek. Will you give me a hand there, Alice? Here, pull my arm. No, the other arm. Just pull it. Pull it. That's it.
Moonlight and shadows, and you in my arms, and a melody in the bamboo tree, my sweet.
Somebody stop the bubble machine. The whole ballroom is lathering up with bubbles. And now I can't see the cameras. Here, let me set the accordion down on the stage. And I'll try and fix that. Bear with us, folks. Just a moment, please. Gee, the time is running out, and we haven't even played the polka. Wait a minute, boys. I didn't mean... Hold it, Alice. Don't polka on my accordion. Gee, Dad, it was a Wurlitzer. Hit the theme, boys. And so it's good night from all the champagne. Where's the cameras? There's so many bubbles, I can't. And so, friends, we help. The whole ballroom is shoving off the sea.
Sure is a clear night, ain't it, Captain?
Yep, matey. These are the kind of nights when the sea plays tricks on you.
Yeah, I recollect one night off Singapore.
Tricks, I say. Like that mirage off the port bow now.
What?
See it there? Kind of bubbly looking in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Gee, if I didn't know better, I'd say it looks like the Aragon Ballroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a catchy chanty you're humming there, Captain. What is it?
Oh, I don't know. It just keeps running through my head.
Well, let's go below and catch a little shut-eye.
Okay.
Help. Help. Waterfall, waterfall. Turn off the bubble machine. Help.
You know, Lawrence Welk, along with Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, probably own all the recorded music in the world. It's true. Welk set about to buy up all these companies. You know, so some of the companies, before I formed my own ASCAP publishing firm, Freeburg Music Corp., I was published by a number of companies that some of them were owned by Capitol Records on the side and other people, Cliffy Stone. Lawrence Welk went around and bought all those companies up later. So now I get royalty statements from Lawrence Welk.
That's
twice
great.
A year, yeah.
That's great.
I mean, that's just the way it worked out.
So
I wish him best. What the heck? Listen, you know.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about The World is Waiting for the Sunrise.
Uh-huh.
Here's another obscure one. It never turned up on an album, and I think it's brilliant. I just love it.
Thanks. Well, listen, let me be the first to announce that Capitol is now considering putting out about 20 of my things in one new CD that would be issued later in the year. And these things that we've discussed would be in there. I mean,
great.
Wonderful, Wonderful would be in there. And what was the other one?
Well, I've Got You Under My Skin.
I think that may be there. We're trying to boil it down now to which 20 pieces would be in there.
Okay, well, The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. That I hear Sound on Sound in there. That sounds like early Sound on Sound with that wonderful trebly.
Yeah, this was a lot of work to make this record. First of all, Les Paul, you know, not only really invented the electric guitar, but he's the guy that really invented multi-tracking. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the guy that first figured out how to overdub. But we didn't have 24-track then, mm-hmm. and we didn't even have 8-track. And I think we barely had 2-track. But at any rate, Les worked all this out in the little studio he had in his house, and he didn't like the sound in the studio, so he put Mary Ford in the bathroom when he made The World is Waiting for the Sunrise, and How High the Moon, I think, was the first one.
I've seen a wonderful photograph of Mary Ford at her sink in the kitchen doing the dishes, and there's a microphone hanging over the sink so that she could sing these vocal tracks, and apparently while doing dishes or something.
Yeah, well, that's some press agent's dream. I mean, I'm sure she was doing dishes, yeah. right, to clutter up the beautiful sound with the clanking of dishes. No, it was actually done in the bathroom. I know that for a fact. And at one point, there's a broom there that fell over and went, you know, clank, you know. And later on, somebody at Capitol said, "What's that funny sound there?" And Les said, "Oh, well, you know, about 8 tracks back, Mary happened to, she gestured too wide with her arms and knocked the broom over." The guy said, "Well, can't we dig that out of there some way?" So after Les Paul hit him with a chair, you know, can you imagine going back in there and digging that all apart? No. So anyhow, since this had just come about, all this multi-tracking by Les Paul and the multi-tracking of Mary Ford's voice as well, I thought, well, maybe I'll do my own version of this. Instead of guitars, I used banjos. And we had to figure out, because Les Paul was not telling how he did this, you know. Because it was like speeding up. Now they have a thing called a harmonizer, you know.
Right.
But we didn't have the harmonizer then. So the harmonizer enables you to speed up without changing the pitch. You can control the pitch of the voice.
Right.
But Les did it the hard way without the harmonizer. Don't ask. Anyhow, somehow George Bruns, who was the conductor, was a math major before he became a composer and conductor. So he was able to figure this whole thing out in a slide rule.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every little rosebud is covered.
Too much banjo, every too fast, he's coming.
put some really weird sound effects on the end of this thing. A guy named Jimmy McDonald, who was Walt Disney sound man extraordinary for, you know, 40 years or whatever. He won Oscars for the sounds on many movies. He was the sound guy that I used mostly on records like the United States of America. And he figured out this marvelous effect on the end of The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. He took a weather balloon, see, and he blew this weather balloon up, and then he put a BB inside the weather balloon, and then he grabbed this weather balloon and got the centrifugal force built up of the BB going around, 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 and went, and then he stopped the weather balloon, and the BB dropped, thump, 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 like that.
That's wonderful. I wondered what that was.
At any rate, Les Paul told me that he digs that record out and plays it for people every once in a while because he thinks it's hilarious, and he still doesn't know how I did some of the things in there without checking with him, since we didn't have multi-track, you know. Now, hey, it's 24-track, no problem with the harmonizer.
Oh, sure.
You know, I could do it in a few months, you know.
Now, Les Paul and Mary Ford at that point were major artists for Capitol.
Right, that's right.
Which was also your label.
There were some people at Capitol that were not crazy about the idea of me spoofing Les Paul and Mary Ford because naturally they, you know, I was an upstart and they didn't want anything to interfere with these massive sales of the Les Paul and Mary Ford records. But I triumphed. What can I tell you, Bob?
And also somehow Les Paul and Mary Ford were able to continue on.
The embarrassment. I didn't exactly drive a stake through the part of their career. No, and Les Paul has a great sense of humor. That's really the answer, you know, whether or not people have senses of humor. Lawrence Welk does not have a great sense of humor, apparently. Les Paul had a sense of humor, so did Jack Webb.
How about Presley?
I heard through the Memphis Mafia that he liked the record and he played it for people. I said, hey, dude, listen to this thing Freeberg did on me, yeah. I never got to meet Elvis. I've met almost all the other people that I lampooned.
Was there anybody that Capitol said hands off? For instance, did Capitol tell you hands off the Beatles?
No, and I toyed with the idea of doing something on the Beatles, but actually by that time in my life I was so busy with advertising that I didn't have the time to sit down and really do anything on the Beatles. However, it came as a great shock and joy to me that the Beatles were big fans of my records, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They all were. Well, actually, I never heard Ringo make any definitive statement on it, but I heard from Lennon and McCartney in person and also in print they said it.
As are we all big fans of Stan Freberg. Special thanks for these shows. Goes out to Stan, of course, and to Donna and Donovan Freberg. Suzanne Wickham and Diana Faust of Times Books, who published Stan's new book, called It Only Hurts When I Laugh. Highly recommended. It's the first half of Stan's life. More like the first two-thirds, up to like 1963. And also to Bob Carlson and Eric Myers for their engineering assistance. And special thanks go out to Brian Burney of A1 Record Finders in Hollywood for the loan of some very rare and priceless stuff, which, Brian, you'll probably be glad to hear I will be returning to you very soon. What else is there to tell you? The Stan Freberg shows will continue for at least two more weeks and possibly three. As I put them together, I see it's going to be tough to cram the rest of all this stuff into the next 2 weeks, so maybe we'll finish out the month with Stan Freberg. And we'll also finish out the month at 7:30 on Friday nights, but after that, beginning in April, I hope you'll follow me to my new time at 10:30 on Sunday nights. I'll keep on doing what I've been doing for the last 7 years, but at that time. If you want to drop me a line, the address is Bob Claster, care of KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And please enclose a phone number so I can get back to you sooner. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.